wonderful thing. Rav Milman, Hillel Milman, is making those wonderful how you say that? Papers for Shabbos from words of Rav Shalom Arush. And they typed, I think, 1,000 copies of them to spread them, to hand them in Uman. Everyone that's going to be so kind to take even this small amount of papers, it's going to be very nice to hand them to people in Uman. And I wanted us to make something for Uman also, but Hashem, we want it differently. So we're going to smile in Uman. This is going to be our business card, to smile to everyone that we're going to meet and see in Uman. So Bezat Hashem, we said that we're going to talk today a little bit about Rosh Hashanah. A little bit, that we were not going to get there and not going to understand what to do with ourselves. So, Bezrat Hashem. First of all, like we said always, that the main thing in Uman is the kibbutz itself. It's together. All of us together, Am Israel. I told you that once, that Rav Kaduri himself, he said that even the fact that a group of Am Israel are coming, such a huge group, coming together to one place and just want to celebrate the holiday, it's so amazing and it brings so wonderful, so many wonderful things to the world, even before of all of the wonderful things that Rabbeinu is making in Rosh Hashanah. Just the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees so many people coming all to be together and to support each other and to help each other and to be and to celebrate the holiday, this is already something totally very, very amazing. And on that we need to put the main focus. Because really, people that are coming over there, even if you're coming first time, you already know how to swim in the water, because you already in yeshiva and you already heard a lot of lessons of Rabbeinu, and you heard about Uman Rosh Hashanah from friends, so you have the certain feeling of what's going on over there even without being there yet. But the fact that is real, that people are coming over there not only first time, just also from a total different world. And a lot of people are much going lost. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to look for the tzion. Where is the tzion? They can look for themselves over there. They don't know where to sleep, where to eat, where is the tzion, what to do, if it's here, if we got to the right place. And you can see people totally confused, and it's horrible. You need to help those people. So how are you going to help those people? You have to open your heart and to look a little bit on the faces and to see. And if you see people that are mamash lost, that's to try to help them. And you don't have to give something that you don't have. This is something that happens a lot of time to people that wants to help, that they find themselves that they're obligating themselves too much. Now you see someone without a bed, and immediately you take him into your apartment and you give him your bed, and now you don't have where to sleep, and you share the food with him, and you don't have enough. And you need to count on Hashem. Hashem set a bed for that person. Hashem got a meal for that person. You need to bring that person to Hashem. You need to bring that person to the Tzion. You need to bring that person to Yeshuv Adat, to faith, to tell him, let's pray on it, let's go, I'll try to help you. You have friends, someone that you related, you have a certain rabbi, maybe there is a group, let's try to help him to progress in his life. You don't need to bring him onto your back, onto your life. It's not it. It's not what that he needs. He also going to suffer in your bed, in your... he doesn't need it. He looks for his friends, so you need to help him to find himself. And especially, it's the faith. To help him to see, oh, Ashrecha, amazing, you made it, you're here. There's not a shame, don't worry, you're going to find the bed. The smile that you give the person is so important, so great, so huge. And this is the main mitzvah that Rabbeinu just said, come to be together. And when we're coming over there to Uman, so of course we have that wonderful, wonderful Kabbalah. This is the first thing that we heard from the Chassid of Breslev, that they would never enter to the Tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh before of mikveh. This is the first thing to do, mikveh, before you enter to the tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. The tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, it's written in the Zohar HaKadosh that the holiness of Kodesh HaKodeshim, the holiness of Beit HaMikdash, of Kodesh HaKodeshim, is receiving its Kedusha from the hidden grave of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the hidden grave of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's outside of Eretz Israel, and he is bringing the Kedusha into Eretz Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the one that gave the spirituality, the power, the light, the energy to the Beit HaMikdash. Moshe mekim et HaMishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu, he is the one that builds the Mishkan. So, in the last salvation, the last Beit Mikdash, the third Beit Mikdash, is going to receive his Kedusha from the Tzaddik of the generation, from the righteous man of the generation, the one that is in charge on the Geulah. And Rabbeinu is explaining in one of the wonderful Torah in Likutei Moharan that the Tzaddik, he is the one that is building the Mishkan, that he's building wonderful buildings, and he's saying, just bring sand and water and stones, and I'm building amazing buildings, and all of those houses that have been built in Uman, the spiritual houses, everyone that is coming and joining that wonderful kibbutz, helping, giving Rabbeinu the power to build the real Mishkan, spiritual Mishkan, that it's the third Beis HaMikdash. So actually from the Tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the light is coming out, V'nahar yotze me'eden l'ashkot et hagan. The river comes out from the Tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh to water the garden. You need to know what gardens are. Those are the wonderful gardens that we're selling and giving and handing, the wonderful books of our rabbi, that not for nothing they've been called the ganim. Mashke et hagan is watering with the garden. You cannot water without those amazing advice that's written in the books. This is the afatza that is coming out by that river, from that river, from the source of wisdom, the Nachal Nova Mekor Chokma. And what that it gives to Am Yisrael, it's what that's written, Nata V'Chaye Olam Nata Betochenu. The Nachal Nova, the river that brings the spring, that brings the water to all of Am Yisrael, is Nova. What it means Nova? Nova means comes out and spread. And the words, the letters of the word Novea is V'chaye Olam Nata Betochenu. It's the first letters of the word of the verse V'chaye Olam Nata Betochenu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plant in us eternal life. This is what the Rabbeinu done with each and every one of us. This is what the Tzaddik is doing. He's taking someone that doesn't have no Tkuma, how you say Tkuma? Cannot stand on his own, not in this world, and for sure not in the world to come. Because in the Mishnah that is saying, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek la'olam haba, like we said, it's written, it's right, it's written, Kol Yisrael, all of them Yisrael, they have a share to the world to come. But if you just keep on reading the rest of the list over there, ve'elu en elu she'en lahem chelek la'olam haba, and those are the ones that don't have a share to the world to come, it's a too long list. It's a very long list, and everyone can find himself in that list, unfortunately. So it's 50-50, you know, hopefully. But like we said, Rabbeinu promised to us something that no righteous man ever promised before. He promised that he will take us out of hell, and he will going to give us eternal life to everyone that is attaching himself to him and give the advice like that Rabbeinu commanded us. So, to come to the Tzion, it has to be in purity. So this is why the Chassid of Breslev are dipping in the mikveh before of entering to the Tzion, and it means every day. If you are Istanis and it's so hard for you to dip in the mikveh, so do tshuva on that and everything is okay. But if you can go to the mikveh, go to the mikveh. If you need to go in the middle of the night when there are less people, if you need to, I don't know what it's. When it becomes to be Rosh Hashanah and it's 40,000 people over there, so it's very hard to find a quiet, a peaceful time. I told you my secret on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, that I'm running during the Tikkun HaKlali HaOlami. In the time that there is Tikkun HaKlali HaOlami, I'm saying Tikkun HaKlali HaOlami because you're not allowed not to say. If all of Am Yisrael are saying Tikkun HaKlali HaOlami, you're not allowed to go to do. You're not allowed to separate yourself from the public. So immediately when they start to say Hareni Mikasher, I find myself already in the second chapter and running to the third, four, five, six, seven, and finishing the tenth mamash when I'm entering to the mikveh. a lot of people already found that shita. I'm not the only one, but still most of the people are outside and saying the tikkun haklal. If you're going to go after 1 hour, it's very nice. Very nice over there. So, Bezrat Hashem, to try to find the right time to go to the mikveh as much as you can before all of the public, all of the crowd. And also, two important things about the Tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that Chassid of Breslev, we're not talking Sichot Chulin conversations in the Tzion, not Sichot Chaverim, and not Sichot Rotzchim, not conversations of friends, not conversations of murderers, not talking. Not Lashon Hara and not for nothing. In the Tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, if we would understand where we're standing, so we could not talk. The truth is that mamash, you need to stand b'tchilu uchimu, in fear and in love so much, it's really Kodesh HaKodeshim. It's mamash standing in Kama Nora Makom Hazeh. It's mamash, it's terrifying to understand where we're at. Rabbi Natan said that he's ready to come to a second lifetime if they're going to promise to him only one thing. No matter what, he's going to born in a kibbutz, far from Judaism, we're not going to keep Shabbos, nothing, everything, going to eat in Yom Kippur, whatever, he's ready for everything. If they're going to promise to him that one time in his lifetime, he's going to be in the tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh in Uman and going to say Tikkun HaKlali. For that, he's ready to go, and he knows that he can ruin every moment of his lifetime. But if he's going to be one time in Uman and going to say Tikkun HaKlali over there, he's taking it. He knew how important it is, how huge it is. So this is second thing on the tzion of third thing on the tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, to try not to speak empty conversations over there. It's very hard, because you don't want to hurt no one, and if someone is coming to you and you haven't seen you, or he's got a very important question, so you're forced to answer. But like that it's written, Al tarbe sicha im ha'isha, you're not allowed to increase, you're not allowed to lengthen the conversations and to talk and to hey, you know who I saw and who I met, and hey, and come, and I'll say, do what that you need to do, what that you have to, what that you're forced to do, and this is it, and remember that. Third thing is about the tzion is third prohibition on the tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh is that Chassid HaBreslev were not drinking and eating in the area of the tzion HaKadosh. If you need to eat, if you need to drink, it's a lot more honorable to drink outside, and not to make a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and to enter like a tourist to the tzion to look what's going on. This is real Avodat Hashem. You appreciate every moment over there. It counts mamash. It's a thousand times more important than outside. So you appreciate it. You understand. You're coming in every moment that you're there, even just to breathe, even just to think a little bit, even just to rest. And everything that you do over there, mamash, is purifying and helping and providing vessels and powers for the future. That it's very, very important to try, mamash, as much as we can to cancel ourselves. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Wender said two things on the tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. That one is that we saw that everyone that was not behaving right, means rude, talking Lashon Hara, fighting, arguing, things like that, he been punished. The place is very holy. Like that we know that the Kohen, when he was entering to Kodesh HaKodeshim, there was a doubt if he's coming out. If he was worthy, he would go out. But if he wasn't fit for that job, and he wasn't pure enough, he wouldn't go out. So you're entering to a place that because of the Kedusha, you've been judged in that place immediately. And it's not Rabbeinu, it's the place itself. Makom Gorem. It's so important, it's so holy. For sure that now we saw with the generations, with the years, that today thousands of people are coming and talking and eating and smoking. Things that I don't even need to mention, of course. It's not allowed to smoke. You don't need to explain not to sin in the tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. This is for sure. We're not saying not to talk Lashon Hara in the tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It's not allowed to talk Lashon Hara, never. So I don't need to mention the tzion of Rabbeinu. So, to smoke, it's not a question at all. But you can see also that today people are coming and they're not behaving so nicely and nothing happens, but it's not true at all. Because maybe you cannot see it, but a lot of things can be open in that trip to Uman and Chas Shalom. The other side also, if a man Chas Shalom is disgracing, if Chas Shalom person is not honoring the, what it is receiving, that is something that Rav Shalom once said on people that leave the yeshiva. He said, we saw it a lot of times, almost all of the times, that people that left the yeshiva, they've been damaged by that. Mamash, they fell from their tshuva, they lost their parnasah, they lost their shalom bayit. A lot of horrible things happened, and he explained why. He said, because from heaven they gave you something so wonderful, and they complain on you that you decided to leave it. It's huge. Just they're asking for what for? Okay, you decided not to stay and to learn here because you want to be a higher Talmid Chacham, you want to serve Hashem more. If you have an answer, if you're doing something that is very important, then okay, so there's no complaint on you. But if you choose something that is lower, so they're asking, they're questioning on that person. Why? Why you left something that mamash was so huge, so beautiful, so amazing, so nice, so pure? So on the trip to Uman, it's the same in a certain way. So you receive something that no one can imagine. No one can imagine. No one can grab the greatness of that gift, that merit of being on the tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu said everyone that was at Tzliel Rosh Hashanah with me in Rosh Hashanah, he needs to be happy. Ra'ui lo lismach. It's fit for him to be happy for all year long. All year long. Just every time that you remember, hey, but I was in Uman Rosh Hashanah, you see that you smile immediately. You think about it, and because the soul, she feels, the soul feels it. Wow, it's something huge. And I remember the first time that I was in Uman, in the first few hours I couldn't understand what's going on, and the river of people going, and in a certain moment I stood up in a little high place, and I was looking on all of the public, on all of the people, and I said, this is the face of Mashiach, this is how it's going to look in the days of Mashiach, because really, thousands and thousands of people, what are they doing? They're all serving Hashem. Those are going to the mikveh, those are going to the shul, those are going to buy shopping for Shabbos, those are preparing food and running and taking, those are going to the tzium, those are going to do vidui, confessing, and those are going and everyone with his looking for their friends and to help the people. And you see, it's a salvation. This is Am Yisrael. This is exactly what it was going on in Am Yisrael in the time of Bet HaMikdash. Everyone are coming to the center of the world and keeping Shabbos together and celebrating the holiday together and doing what that you need to do. When it's time to sacrifice. But if it's time to say Tikkun HaKlali and to do Vidui Dvarim, so it depends on the mitzvah. In Sukkot you enter to the Sukkah, in Pesach you sacrifice the Korban HaPesach, in Rosh Hashanah. This is what we've been commanded by our Rebbe, and we believe in him. Rabbeinu said, "Ha'eshedi tukad ad biat HaMashiach." My fire is going to flame until the days of Mashiach. And before Mashiach will come, nothing new is going to happen. Nothing is going to change the world, going to shake the land, the world to... Oh, maybe this. No, this is it. This is what did we have. It's the Holy Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And Rabbeinu HaKadosh opened the way for Mashiach. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, every one of us can testify with no doubt that he lived in the days of Mashiach. Because you can see which power in the world could bring us to serve it, to serve Hashem Yitbarach like that, and to wake up every day again with yearnings to Hashem, and with prayers, and new will, and every day you start over, and you go to the mikveh, and you do 1 hour of vodadut and more, and you have more decisions and more power, strength to put more powers in avodat Hashem, in shalom bayit, in the tshuva, in 30 minutes of vodadut and kedusha. Those are things that are coming from somewhere. You look behind on your past and you see it's not you. It's not belongs to me. It's not not my nature. I wasn't doing that when I was young, when I was a teenager. It's not me. So it came one day when I heard from that rabbi, when I opened that book, when I saw that, when I started to do my shait for the dutzah. The main mitzvah of going by the Shulchan Aruch, of going to graves of tzaddikim in the eve of Rosh Hashanah, is to do tshuva. So this is that wonderful confession, vidui dvarim, that Rabbeinu commanded us to do in the eve of Rosh Hashanah. Actually, in the beginning, in the eve of Rosh Hashanah, the Chassid of Breslev, they've been called vidui nikim, the confessors, the ones that confessed to Hashem. And they would come to Rabbeinu. This was the first name of Chassid of Breslev. They would come to Rabbeinu, and Rabbeinu would give them eyes, and they could see in those 2-3 minutes that they came to stand in front of Rabbeinu every sin, everything that they done all of their lives. And everyone that would enter to Rabbeinu would start to cry, and Rabbeinu would write a pitka, a note, if that guy is going to live or not, chas v'shalom. And he would go out from the room and he would cry all day long until the entrance of the Chag, of the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. And because that the number of people grow more and more and more, so they stopped confessing in front of Rabbeinu physically, but they would do tshuva. And this is what that we're doing. And everyone that's going to commit himself like that to do tshuva, Rabbeinu is going to give him those eyes. Rabbeinu can steal, Enei Hashem LaTzadikim, the eyes of Hashem, Hashem gave them to the righteous people, and they can give it to you. If you look at the tzaddik, if you're knocking, like Rav Shalom said, you knock on the door, and you ask Rabbeinu, open for me, open for me. If you insist on doing tshuva like you should, in the eve of Rosh Hashanah, we don't have that prohibition to do tshuva only 1 hour and not more than that. We don't have that. You can do tshuva for days in the eve of Rosh Hashanah. And from the moment that you came to Uman, it's the eve of Rosh Hashanah. You can start doing your tshuva. And like that joke, it's a joke, it's a story, it's a real story, but also funny. The Chevra Kadisha came to one of the Chassid of Breslev on his deathbed and told him, confess. So he answered to them, you thought that I'm going to wait for you until you're going to come to confess? I'm doing 1 hour, but I do it every day of my life, I'm confessing. Because how are you going to finish your tshuva in the eve of Rosh Hashanah? All right, 2 hours, and I have to dip, and I need to put food on the platter, and now I need to do my tshuva. Your mind is not there, and your heart for sure, hopefully, that you brought your heart with you, or that you received one in the tzion, or something that happened. Because, you know, very important to guard the eyes on the way, when you go, on the flights, and all of the women, and non-Jewish women, and the airport, and all of those places have to watch over our eyes. Because if you open your eyes, the heart desire, this is it. And so, already been contaminated. And also in the streets over there, even though that there is that wonderful group of Hasidic people that are working hard, Mishmeret HaKodesh, to push out all of the women over there, but they cannot achieve 100%. And a lot of women are renting their houses, and so there are women in the streets. So you need to guard your eyes. This is it. There is no other advice except of putting your eyes down and your heart to aim into heaven, and always to be concentrated. Now I'm going to the mikveh. I'm not going out from the apartment. Hey guys, I'm going out. You're not. You're not doing that. You're not going out. You're going to the mikveh. From the mikveh, you go to the tzion. From the tzion, you go back to the apartment. Wonderful. There are no forests outside to do it, but the duyot, nothing. There is the tzion. If you have a group of friends, and also not to go alone. A lot of situations happened over there. The non-Jews, not always very friendly to us. What can we do? Baruch Hashem, there are ones that got that married, not that we're not bothering them. They can live with us in peace and quiet. And there are ones that for them were like a thorn. We're making them crazy. We're making them wild. The fact that we're happy, oh, for them it's unbearable. What can you do? They put that huge cross over there on the top of the lake over there. So the tashlich, we're not doing it on the left side. You're not allowed. Halachically, you're not allowed to do the tashlich on the left side on the lake where there is that cross on top of that lake. So on the right side, we're doing. There is a river on the right side. No problem. A little bit less comfortable. But it's hell, so what's the problem? I need to fight, to argue, no. You want to do tashlich or you want to be right?
Of course.
we want to do, so go and do tashlich, go to the other side, do tashlich. So in the eve of Rosh Hashanah, it's very most important thing is to do the long confession. There are a few ways that Rav Shalom said that making the tshuva process easier. If a person is a Talmid Chacham, he can hold the Shulchan Aruch in his mind and to do tshuva according to the order of the Shulchan Aruch of the Halachot, and he from the morning and he Ilchot HaShachar and he's doing tshuva and on by the Shulchan Aruch, by the Simanim Shulchan Aruch. Wonderful way. To the ones that are not such Talmidei Chachamim, you can find another thing that's going to help you to do tshuva by order, that you're going to cover as much as you can. First of all, you can do it by the seder, the hours of the day. You can do tshuva on all of the times that you woke up, or to start from Ma'ariv, maybe even better, on all of your Ma'arivs, you do tshuva on all of your Ma'arivs, on all of the what that you usually do in the evenings, and on how you go to sleep every night, on the year, and then on Kriyat Shema, on the bed, and on how you sleep, how you wake up, and this is how you can cover a lot by doing that tshuva. On every shachrit, Hashem sorry on those shachariot, mikveh before of shachrit, after shachrit, every detail and detail to do tshuva like that, on the order, the hours of the day, or the days of the week also, and you can do both as much as you can, it's wonderful. On Sundays, you have certain things that you do usually on Sunday, and Monday, and Shabbos, on Shabbos, holidays, also by the order of the organs of the man. On the legs, so you start and you confess and you do tshuva on how that you were walking to places and where you were standing and what you were doing and on which things you were kicking and on and on your hands and all of the organs and the heart, where is my heart, and on the eyes. So you understand that it's very good to come a few days before of Rosh Hashanah to start the confessions for the eyes, I mean, only for the eyes. Need to dedicate a few hours. Really? I told you that, I remember last year or 2 years ago, that I mentioned to you that I thought about how to pray on all of my friends, so I took my mobile, my list of friends in my phone, and I was just looking on each and every one of them, from Aleph, Bet, Gimel, A, B, C, D, 2, and to pray 30 seconds on everyone, 20 seconds, just to mention that he's going to get married, that she's going to be happy, that he's going to do tshuva, that their children are going to go in the right way, that they're going to complete their gyur, their conversion process, that they're going to have a house in Jerusalem, that they're going to find their maid, their shidur, that they're going to be able to, and on and on and on and on and on. And you pray on all of Am Yisrael. One of the Avrachim came to Rav Shalom and asked him, on what I'm going to pray on Uman. So Rav Shalom answered to him, you can do what that me and Rav Berland are doing. He told him what. He said, we never pray on ourselves. So there is a very huge importance on that. Understand that you're going as a messenger of all of Am Yisrael. What? Now you achieved it. This is it. You made it. I heard Rav Berland that he said that all of the people that are now in Uman are because of the will and yearning of the guys that are not in Uman now. Because that they wish so much to come to Uman, based on those will, Borei Olam gave us the merit to come. And so this is something very, very important to remember, the brothers that are not here. Because more than the ones that are going are the ones that want to go and cannot. There are people that are broke, don't have money. There are people that they have problems or shalom bayit. There are people that for them to go to Uman, they cannot even think about it. They don't understand. And there are people that the yeshivas are not allowing them to leave the yeshiva. They're not allowed to go to in Uman. And yesterday I went to Rav Nathan, the son of a Rav, to give another amount on my ticket. And I saw two people, so I asked them, where you ran away from? That you sneaked. How you? You see on their faces that they're hiding. They're coming to pay the ticket like that. Pray. So, also amazing, important, very important thing that calls the pidyon in the eve of Rosh Hashanah, to give tzedakah to Rabbeinu HaKadosh to do pidyon. Except of tikkun haklali and the tzedakah money that you give before of saying the tikkun haklali, with no connection to that, another advice is to give pidyon to righteous people. We following our wonderful Rabbi Rav Shalom Arush Ben Yamna Shichyeh. There's going to be a small store, a basta, a table that is giving envelopes with a list of names that you can write down. Everyone put the amount of money that you feel comfortable to give. As much as you can, of course, wonderful, but not more than you can. I remember that one time someone came to Rav Shalom, it was on the phone. Rav Shalom was talking and he said to that person, man or woman, I don't know, I don't remember, told him, and you need to give for a pidyon. So that person asked him, how much should I give? So he told him, even one shekel, it doesn't matter. We're doing pidyon on every amount. So, of course, there are other places and there are righteous people that they can see what they can see, and they're telling certain amounts, and maybe it's also important. I don't know. Of course, that if there is a righteous man that is saying 100,000, he know what he's saying. It exists. When, for an example, when Rav Berland, his son was sick when he was a kid, when he was young, and he went to the doctors, they told him that he's got a tumor, I think, in his head, and he cannot survive. This is it. Rav Berland said, that is not exist. To say that the sick person is he cannot be healed, nothing to do, it's not exist. And he sell his house in Bnei Brak and divided the money for three righteous people. One third he gave to Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender, one third I heard that he gave to Rav Shmuel Shapira, and another third he done something else, I don't remember who he gave it to, maybe to the Stipler, or I don't know, he gave it to another tzaddik, and his son been healed. So sometimes it's good to sell your house. It's not a question. There are things that it's very good to sell your house for them. The house is nothing compared to life of a child or something like that. So we need to understand that if a tzaddik really tells you need to give a big amount, if it's his helper tells you, so of course you can suspect it. But if the tzaddik told you something, listen, there are things in it. Don't because it's hard for you. Yeah, he needs to buy a blue pajama to his helper or something. You need to help him. So if a tzaddik is telling you something, of course you need to put your heart on to it and to listen why and what's going on, and for sure to do. And but like we heard from Arab, Arab said, how much that you can. This is it. Rabbeinu said that it's good, the avodat tzedakah, to give charity. It's in the place that it hurts. Means if it's easy for you to put 100 shekels and 150, it's already hard. So you need to put 150. This is avodat tzedakah. It doesn't mean that 100 will not going to be good, but to give when it hurts, when it pains a little bit, it's better. Okay, so there are those envelopes of Yeshiva Tchutzel Chesed, and Rav Shalom is trying. I'm not sure that he's able to read all of the names of thousands of people that are writing their envelopes, but he is blessing, and he's got an amazing Siyata Dishmaya. Don't worry, even the envelopes that he's not receiving them, he's not reading them. Don't worry, it's very, very, very big, very, very big, very, 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 very big. Rabbeinu said that there are things that he's not able to fix all year long, and in Rosh Hashanah he's fixing them. So, like we said from Rav Yitzchak Bender, you need to come and to insist on things. Why to come to Rosh Hashanah, to the lake, to the spring, when you can bring salvation to every subject that you need in your life, and to waste it and to lose it? Why not to put your powers to be concentrated? You came to Uman. A lot of Chassid of Breslev, they are not talking during Rosh Hashanah, first day and second day. They're doing Tani Dibur, not talking. Me myself, I never done that. I don't believe I will. Maybe I will, but because I need to talk to people. What can I don't have that privilege. But if you have, if you can do that, so do that. A lot of things been decided according to what did you say. And Rosh Hashanah is judgment day. It's not kindness day. It's judgment day. You need to watch over your mouth. As less nonsense that you're going to bring out from your mouth, it's better for you. And more prayers and more yearnings and more wish for thoughts from the heart. It's just going to help you. And all of that desire, like Rav Shalom explained to us, that we're revealing in the prayer of Rosh Hashanah, in the Shmona Esrei, it's not only in the Shmona Esrei. In all of the days of Rosh Hashanah, we need to want Hashem Yitbarach as much as we can. This is our job, to want Hashem. And in the Bodeduyot of Rosh Hashanah, to do it like that. And so, this is something very important, to be insistent. to take the things that are bothering you. If on the Parnassah you don't know what to do with yourself, why to come back to suffer another year? Why not to solve it? You're coming to the center, you're coming to the source, you're coming to the heart. You're coming to the place that in that place you can solve your problems if you're going to insist. So you need to stand and to do tshuva on that and to pray on that and to beg on that and to cry on that and to dance on it and to thank on it and whatever until you're going to feel inside that you've been answered. There are times that after you finish praying you feel that your prayer has been answered. If you feel happiness, you feel joy, you can know for sure that your prayer has been answered. So it doesn't mean that you should stop. Maybe also to continue. One friend of mine went to Uman and he prayed on his shidduch. He wasn't married and he got married 2 weeks. He met his wife 2 weeks after Rosh Hashanah. And I assumed that he made 6 hours on that in Rosh Hashanah. And he prayed only 5 minutes on that. He prayed 5 minutes straight on that. He asked it very seriously, mamash, from the bottom of his heart. He was concentrated, he was praying on it, and he even answered. So you see that even 5 minutes can bring salvation. And there is no doubt about it. A word can bring salvation. A will. Terem tikra'u ba'anyene. Before you ask, also Rabbeinu can answer. Hashem can answer. There is no doubt about it. But to know, we need to fulfill our obligations. We need to put as much as we can in the Avodat Hashem. This is our job. We need to try to do as much as we can. And if you know that there is something that is bothering you, you have fears, you have anxieties, you have weaknesses, you're all confused, you don't know what to do, if to live here, if not to live here, if to stay, if not to stay, if to work, if not to work, if to get married, if not to, if what to do, and you all, this is the time. It's not the time for shopping, there is nothing to buy. It's not the time for cooking, there is nothing. It's not important. It's a lot more wise to buy a ticket from one of those places and to eat over there, that you don't need to worry about making food and cooking before and to put food. And if you rather to eat alone in your room and it's easier for you, buy that. So do it. Find the easiest way of them all to cross Rosh Hashanah. As happy as you can, as safe as you can, mamash, and look for the easiest. If you know that for you, tuna fish and I don't know, a few crackers, it's the best, do it. Do it. I know, for an example, people just want to hear the class of Rav Berland. Usually the class of Rav Berland, I don't know if it's in the second day or the first day.
Between Mincha and Maariv, no?
But in the first or second day,
but
it's only in one, in the first one, in the first day. I saw a lot of people that when they had to make a seuda, and also the musaf is very, the shachrit is very long in the Ashkenazi shul, and after it almost you don't have time, and then there was the class of Arab Berland, and people needed to eat and they didn't know where. So I saw people that brought sandwiches and they came to the Klois, and for them it was important to hear the class of Rav Berland and also to be in the Musaf and also immediately after it to daven Mincha, and you need to do Tashlich and you don't have time for all of that. So what are you going to do? So they made a sandwich and they made a meal in the shul eating a sandwich, and that was the Sudat Chag, and it's the wisest way of them all. And it doesn't mean that this is what you need to do. Take the wisdom. Take the wisdom. How to manage your life. How to understand. How to. You need to find the time for everything that is important to you. The fact that you were in shul from Netzach Amah, from 6:30 until 3, and then you ran to make Tashlich, and then you daven Mincha, it doesn't exempt you from 1 hour it would do today. If you haven't made 1 hour yesterday evening, you have to do 1 hour it would do today. When are you going to do that? It's a question. So you have to find the time. So you have to be concentrated and not to eat in the evening, Suda Rosh Hashanah, 3 hours, 4 hours. What are you doing? Why are you wasting your time for that? Sit, eat, finish, Birkat Amazon with all of your heart. This is it. Thank Hashem. Bless Hashem. Be happy. Smile to all of your friends. Go do an hour in Vodadut. Finish your obligation. Tomorrow you can concentrate in your tefillah. Unless you're not going to do that all day long. What I'm going to do? My 1 hour is going to do it, and I have to do half an hour on this and that and the mikveh and that. Why? Be wise. Prepare yourself. Think about it. And there is a lot of time.
and also from one side we're saying you need to try to achieve the most. I know people that came to Uman and become to be sick and lie on the bed until the flight back, and they couldn't go out from bed. It can happen. The doctor, he's going to decide how to heal you. The doctor, he's going to decide how to fix you in Rosh Hashanah. You're not going to decide. You think that you know what is good for you, but the truth is that the doctor, he knows how to heal you. You cannot heal yourself. You can see that you cannot heal yourself. You have evidence for that. You don't need more proofs in Uman. When you come to Uman, you try to achieve the most, but you accept everything. Every tikkun is from Rabbeinu. Everything that you're going through in Uman is from Rabbeinu, straight from Rabbeinu. Everything that Rabbeinu is doing to us is to complete our tikkun, to give us a sweeter life. And another thing that I heard that's very important, to learn in the Shmona Esre of Rosh Hashanah. Every 5 minutes, every another 2 minutes, every another 1 hour that you're going to pray, you're going to stand Shmona Esre, going to put all of your powers in the Siddur, in concentrating and praying, and length and length and length, you're going to cancel so many decrees and sorrow from yourself from the next year you can never imagine. Every suffering that you're going to have in that filah going to open for you light for the next year that you cannot imagine. And to rush, to finish a minyan, to do this and that, it's not it. In Uman, in Rosh Hashanah, try to pray. I'm trying not to pray less than 2 hours my Shmona Esre, as much as I can. Not always I succeed. But not less than 2 hours Shmona Esre. And it's a very long prayer, so it's not so hard. You just need to start and to pray a long prayer. And it's amazing, amazing. You buy that Siddur with explanations in English and you read it. And you read it again and again and again and again. And you like we explained already how to rank in Shmona Esre. You concentrate. It's your merit. You're buying things, you're doing shopping, it's all for you. You're collecting. Every word is another diamond, another pearl, another good stone, another. Every word in that filah is bounty, is shefa for you, for your family, for the rest of Am Yisrael. Not to forget that all of that prayer is plural. You pray on all of Am Yisrael. And bless us all in happy, sweet Rosh Hashanah, that you all can have the merit to be happy, to be together in the Tzion HaKadosh of Rabbeinu HaKadosh in Rosh Hashanah this year and the next years forever. Chazak u'baruch. Amen.